So if we go to a temple and if we are fearful that some terrorists might attack and I lose my life, then we will become afraid of practicing religion, practicing spirituality. So what can we do about this? There are, in any situation that we are in, there are things which are in our power to change, there are things which are not in our power to change. So, if we obsess over that which is not in our power to change, we simply feel powerless, we simply feel helpless, we simply feel resentful. It's always better to light one candle, no matter how small, rather than to curse the darkness. So, yes, there is a lot of darkness in the world, and it's distressing when we hear such terrible things happening. At the same time, we have to see what is in my power to do. And we do that. So, the Krishna consciousness movement is primarily a movement for spiritual education. So, Srila Prabhupada gave some purposes for his ISKCON based on the Bhagavad Gita. And those primarily focus on elevating people's consciousness. So, we, as I said, in the part of Shastra and Shastra, we are focusing on the Shastra part, sorry, Shastra part, where we are focusing on educating people through scriptural education. And there is, as I said, it's important that the social protection also be done. And that is something which is a far bigger task. Today, America is probably the most powerful country right now. And even that country is still afflicted by terrorist attacks. They're doing their best to protect themselves, but still attacks pop up over there. So this problem is far bigger than what you and I can solve, or what one particular religious movement can also solve. So what do we do? There are devotees when you know, and this, you know, actually speaking, if you see, this world is always a place of problems. This world is always a place of problems. And there have been throughout history people who have been brutal and they have killed. If you look at European history, they say there were two main population shocks. One was the Black Plague, which killed almost one third or one fourth of the population of Europe. And the second population shock, it is said to be the invasion of Genghis Khan. They just left a trail of destruction wherever he went. That's happened in the past also. Now, because the world is so interconnected, so one attack that happens in one part of the world that comes in the media and that becomes highlighted everywhere. So, death and destruction is a part of the reality of this world. And if we go back to the times of the Ramayana, there Lord Ram goes to the forest, and at one particular place called Ramtek, he sees a mound of bones. And he asked the same sages at the company, "What is this?" He said, "That time there were Rakshasas who were living. Rakshasas are basically cannibalistic demons. The demons were cannibals. And in the forest, sages had come to do austerities, and these demons had come and devoured those sages. And so many sages had been devoured that a pile of their bones was there. So at that time, Lord Ram, at that place called Ramtek, he took a vow, I will rid the earth of such cannibalistic demons who are out to destroy them." So now that means even at the time when Lord had descended, at that time also terrible things were happening. So the nature of the world is that there will always be terrible things that happen in this world. But we do our part to set things right. And there are others who will do others' parts. So we cannot take the rule of law in our hands. And as far as specifically the Krishna conscious movement is concerned, we keep ourselves non-political. So usually our temples have not been directly targeted because we are not seen as a political movement which is going here, which is affiliating with this party or that party. And secondly, whatever security is possible, especially in vulnerable areas, we have security for the temples. And beyond that, according to time, place, circumstance, the practices need to be adjusted. So, for example, for 1,000 years, India was under Islamic rule. when India was under Islamic rule, they were, Islam was very aggressively iconoclastic, you know, destroying temples. So what did the Bhakti movement do? We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Bengal was ruled by very malevolent dictator at that time, Islamic rule. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not tell any of his followers to build temples in Bengal. He told his followers to build temples in Vrindavan, because at that time Akbar was ruling, and Akbar was a congenial ruler. But the Bengali king was not at all congenial. So all that he told them is, just do Harinam Sankirtan, just do Kirtans. So the idea is that when a river is flowing towards the ocean, there are different kinds of obstacles that may come. And the river somehow finds a way ahead. Above, below, right, left, or it just erodes the stone and moves on. So like that, the Bhakti movement is very resourceful in finding a way ahead to move towards Krishna. So we have devotees in the Middle East. In the Middle East, they don't allow for any public expression of any religion other than Islam. So what do devotees do? Devotees still practice bhakti in their houses, they hire halls. Now when they want to do Rath Yatra, they actually hire the biggest hall in the city and they have Rath Yatra inside the hall. So they are practicing bhakti in their own way. There's one American devotee who was enlisted in the army and sent to Iraq to fight the war. And then he was thinking, you know, I'm a devotee, I don't want to go and get involved in this politics and all the war associated with that. But the spiritual master told him, that's your duty, that's your job, you should go there. And then when he went there, he found that, you know, even the American soldiers were so stressed and so fearful, so insecure about the kind of attack that they would get, that they were actually very spiritually ripe. And you talk about, you are not the body or the soul, to people who are living in an AC room, they may not be so interested. But if you are on the verge of death any moment, then the ultimate questions become immediate. So he found that they were very receptive. He started sharing spiritual wisdom with them and they started taking it up. Then he was a good singer. So his name was Partha Sarthi, incidentally. One who is the charioteer of Arjuna. So he went there and he started doing kirtans in the American camp there in Iraq. And he started writing his reports about his experiences there. He called them battlefield bhajans. And then there, many soldiers, they did not really have good entertainment. This was good music. They started coming. And there in the American camp in Iraq, he eventually did Rath Yatra over there. And it was all, you know, that the American soldiers were participating in the Rath Yatra over there. That was the first Rath Yatra that happened in Iraq. So, you know, for devotees, they will keep finding their way to keep serving Krishna. So, if it is in our power, we can talk with the leaders of society and get more measures for protection. But we shouldn't become so disheartened or disgusted by the state of the world that we turn away from bhakti. Because every single Mahamantra that we chant, every day that we study the Bhagavad Gita, now what we are doing is, we are lighting our own consciousness. And by lighting our consciousness, we are helping light the consciousness of others. So in the darkness of the world, we are lighting a candle. And right now we have the position to light a candle, we keep lighting the candle. In future, by God's grace, if we get to light something bigger, we can light that bigger thing also. So we focus on doing what we can. Just as the river always moves towards the ocean, we try to keep moving our consciousness towards Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.